world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed. Lipstick Bodyguard, fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
This week on Parents Are Hard to Raise, what never ever to do when choosing care for your parents, and what puppies have taught science about the power of healing. Plus, this week's survival tip is yellow and crooked.
Welcome to Parents Are Hard to Raise, helping families grow older together without losing their minds. I'm elder care expert Diane Berardi. I got a call this week from a daughter. Her mom is in the hospital in New York, and she really wasn't guided and didn't know what to do when she was going to be bringing her mom home. She needed a physician, and she wanted to find out about home care services as well. And she told me that she had called, the hospital gave her different numbers to call, and she had called one company, and she said the person on the phone was very rushed, and every time I asked her a question, she kept saying, "Hold on." And she said she didn't put me on hold, but she went and was talking to somebody, and I could hear mumbling, and then she'd come back and say, "No, we can't do that. No, we can't. I don't know." And she said, and then finally, I guess she got so frustrated, she said to someone, "Here." And she gave the phone to another person, and she said the person identified themselves as the owner of this company. She said, and she was just as nasty as the person who answered the phone. And I said, "Well, why would you continue to talk to that person?" And she said, "Well, I was trying to find out information, and the hospital recommended her." And so I thought, oh my gosh, you know, just because someone recommends someone to you when you talk to them on the phone, if you don't like the feedback you're getting, you really have to move on. And it reminded me of, I was looking for something new and interesting to teach students on professionalism, and I ran across this blog, and it was from this woman who, she was a part-time waitress, and she got laid off. And so she decided that I'm going to go into some form of healthcare, because healthcare has steady hours, and I think that will look good on my resume, is how she put it. And what she wanted us to know, after working as an administrative assistant in a dialysis center, she wanted to tell people what she thinks people in general should know, what every healthcare professional wants you to know. This was her idea, that you should know what people in healthcare go through. And I read this and I thought, oh my gosh, well, this is a great training piece of information of what not to do and what we don't want you to know. So the first thing she said was, oh my gosh, you know, this is a very stressful type of work. She said, the most stress I had, I used to work in retail as well, and the most stress I had was somebody wanted to return an item, a piece of clothing, without a receipt. She said, here people are yelling, and, you know, they want to be seen quicker, you know, because they're on dialysis. And she said, you know, this is a very stressful job, and I want you to know that, and I want you to know healthcare is chaotic. It's chaos, and it makes it much more difficult for us in healthcare if people don't appreciate what we do. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then she went on to say, you know, we're consistently overworked, so you have to bear with us. And she said, I want you to know there's no slow days in healthcare. I am never not busy. So the next time you go to a doctor's office, you be polite to the receptionist, because you may think we just sit on our butts, but we're getting calls all day and you have no idea how hard we work. So yes, that's the first thing. You just scold people who are under stress and sitting there waiting to have dialysis. Then she said, don't mistake our directness for rudeness. You know, you shouldn't look at us as being negative and that we're rude. We're just direct because we have to get things moving. So if I wasn't tough as nails and learned to be as tough as nails, we wouldn't get the job done. So, okay, you have to help people by being very direct and tough as nails. You can't be empathetic and kind to people because you won't get anything done if you're that way, is what she's saying. And then she went on to say, we hate paperwork too, but it's absolutely essential. And, you know, just do the paperwork. We know it's painful, but stop complaining about it. So you honestly can't complain that you have to fill out, you know, 9 million forms. And okay, that's just how it is today. But don't complain about it. And you know, if we were super sensitive, we could not work this job. Because, you know, I understand your plight. And you might think I'm insensitive, but you know what? We have to develop a tough skin because we see people come and go. You know, people die and we can't get close to people. We can't be nice because they are going to just come and go. Okay, so we have to be tough. And, you know, of course, in healthcare, yes, I mean, I see clients come and go. I hope people get better and I hope people can move on. And yes, some people do die, but that doesn't mean I have no compassion, I have no empathy, and that I stop feeling or that I have to be mean and tough in order to deal with people that are on dialysis or people that are dying or people that are in need or just struggling. And then, she said, and don't ask me questions that you should be asking the nurse. And don't ask the nurse questions that you should be asking me, like about scheduling. Well, oh my gosh, God forbid you ask the wrong person a question. I know if you go into a lot of hospitals, everybody's dressed the same. Everybody is, they've started all this, you know, uniformity in uniforms. So in a lot of hospitals, everybody wears white. So you don't know who's housekeeping and you don't know who the nurses are. And that's kind of done on purpose. So just that you would think everybody's a nurse. So then, okay, God forbid we might ask you something. Listen, if I get a call and I'm asked a question, you know, that maybe I can't help people with, or maybe it's in left field, it's not part of, you know, what I can help you with, I, as an empathetic person, will try to help you and direct you. Hey, that's not something we do, but let me try to help you. You know, let me say, this is where you have to call. So, I mean, you just have to be kind and empathetic. And, you know, her last point was, this is an overwhelming, high-stress job, and no one in healthcare is overpaid, considering the massive workload and responsibility we have to take on every day. So, one of the first things that I teach students is, number one, this is not about you. That's number one. This is not about you. If you think it's about you, there's the door because you're in the wrong field. Never, I don't want to hear you. I don't want to hear me mentioned at all. I don't want any questions on me. That's not what it's about. Number two, I can't teach you to be kind. I cannot teach you that. If you do not have a kind bone in your body, if you are not a kind person, you don't belong in this field. I'm not sure where you belong exactly, but you don't belong in healthcare because you have to have kindness. And you can't teach someone to be kind. They have to have it in them. So I want to tell you, first of all, if you're looking for any kind of service, you know, any kind of service, but anybody in the healthcare profession, whether it's a doctor, a geriatrician, a physical therapist, a social worker, the first thing I tell you to do is call another professional that you feel comfortable with. And if you don't have a doctor that you feel comfortable with, a case manager, a social worker, if you don't have someone you feel comfortable with or you've had a relationship with, then ask around. Your neighbor, you know, may go to a particular doctor she may be very happy with. She may refer. She may be very happy with a case manager, with a home care provider. So you can ask someone. Now, just because someone refers you, it doesn't mean that you may be happy with them. You may be looking for something different, but that's a good place to start. But someone could have the best credentials in the world, but if you cannot talk to them, if you can't understand them or they don't understand what you're looking for, if they don't respect you as a person, as someone who's in need of help, you just have to move on. There are other credentialed people. So the first thing, when you're calling someone on the phone, how are they treating you on the phone? Are they paying attention to what you're saying? Are they pleasant? Are they rushed? You can hear in their voice if they're rushed, if they're doing something else, if they're half listening to you. You know, are they listening to what you're saying? Communicating isn't just talking. It's about listening as well. So you have certain ideas in mind, certain questions that you need answered. Are they doing that? Or are they saying to you, I can help you, but I know someone who can. Or let me find that out for you. Or yes, I can help you. Are they patient in explaining, you know, are you understanding what they're telling you? Are they just trying to brush you off and rush you off the phone? If you don't understand something, I tell people that all the time, people are afraid to ask questions because they think that, you know, the person on the other end of the phone is going to think they're stupid or it's a silly question. But nothing is silly and nothing is stupid. And you're not stupid. It's just that this is, you know, this may be a whole new arena for you. It's a whole new, you know, undertaking. You've never dealt, you know, you never looked for a geriatrician. You've never looked for a case manager. You've never had to go through all these things. Years ago, a lot of what you might need was done for you. It's not done that way in the hospital anymore. If your mom's getting out of the hospital, for instance, you have to do a lot of legwork where you didn't have to do that before. And if someone is nasty on the phone, and then they put their owner on, and the owner is nasty. Oh, my God. What is that doctor going to be like? What is that home care service going to be like? What is that person they're sending into your home going to be like if the owner is nasty? So you please don't think this is, oh, my gosh, this is where it has to end. I'm going to have to deal with this. Does the person on the other end of the phone respect you and respect your time? That's a big one. You know, if someone calls me and I'm on the phone with another client and I'm going to be a while, you know, people are kind. People are patient. I just ask someone, may I call you back? Can I take your number and call you back? Because anybody I'm on the phone with, I have to give them the attention that they need. And I have to be sure that when I hang up that I gave them that attention, that they understand everything that I was saying, that they could ask me any questions that they had and that I had the time to give them my attention. If someone says to you, I'm going to call you back by 5 o'clock today, and if they don't, and if they call you back 3 days later, wow, is that the service you want? No, you have to, you know, if someone says, I'm going to do this, then they have to keep their word. I'm never going to say to you, and I'm using me for an example, I'm never going to say to you, I'm going to call you back at 5 o'clock if I don't think I can, or I don't think I could get you all the information you need by 5 o'clock. But I am going to tell you when I can do it and ask you, is that okay? Because you can't be sitting by the phone waiting and hoping that your problem is going to be solved and it's not. You have to remember, especially, you know, in healthcare, you're entrusting yourself or your loved one into the hands of another person. So you have to trust them. You have to trust what they say. And you have to make sure that they have your best interest and your mom or dad's best interest at heart. And you have to wonder, my gosh, what if something goes wrong? You know, how are they reacting? You know, and for me, I'm a perfectionist. I mean, that's me. That's my makeup. And because I'm dealing with people, and you know, I may not be dealing with a life or death situation. I may be, but I may not be when I may have to answer a question for you or I may have to set something up for you. But I am going to do my best to make sure that everything goes without a hitch. I have very high standards. You're entrusting me with your loved one. So I want to make sure, you know, the plan is flawless. The people I'm presenting to you, they're what you want. They're what you need. They're what you deserve. Now, because we're dealing with human nature, we're dealing, you know, with human beings, something can go wrong. Anything can go wrong. Anything can go wrong on your end as well as mine, you know, because anything can happen. But I have to also be flexible. I have to have a backup plan, as you do. I have to respond to what may happen. I can't react. And I have to always look ahead. I always am looking ahead for my clients, and that's one thing, you know, you have to do, because we're dealing with people that may be sick, you know, may need attention in 15 different ways. If things don't run smoothly, no matter what it is, I have to know, the person you're hiring has to know how to solve it. They have to know what to do. So if you make a call or visit someone's office and you hear from a professional, oh gosh, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I've heard that. You run. You run out of that office. You hang up that phone and you call me and you move on. I'll help you find what you need. You have to feel comfortable about your decision. You have to feel good about your decision, and you have to feel that you made the right choice. You're going to know. You're going to know from that very first time that someone picks up the phone or that very first time you walk into someone's office. I've had people say, gee, you know, someone referred me to this particular doctor's office, and I walked in, and they have a very nice office, you know, so I figured that it was really plush and it was really done well, but there was no one sitting at the reception desk, or I wasn't treated, you know, very well there, but I figured the office was really nice, so the doctor must be good and the doctor must be nice. And honestly, you know, that logic, it just doesn't work. And I appreciate that you think that, but you have to feel comfortable. So please, just know that. Do the right thing. Feel good about the decision you're making. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the power of touch.
She's always been there for you. She taught you how to ride a bike, tie your shoes, make your bed, blow your nose. She nursed you through the chicken pox and that nasty stomach flu. She was there on your first day of kindergarten, just out of sight, peeking through the window, her heart breaking just a little. You were growing up so fast. She knew just what to do to make it all better when you skinned your knee, came home with bubble gum in your hair, and got your heart broken for the very first time. Now, she needs you, and you have no idea how to help. You're not alone. Since 1982, we've been helping people just like you find answers to the problems you're facing right at this moment. Life is so much more complex than it was when we were kids. The stresses you and I face today are greater than they ever were for our parents when they were our age. We're pulled in so many directions at once. There never seems to be enough hours in the day. And no matter how much you do or where you turn, it still feels like you're letting someone down. These are the kinds of problems that can tear families apart. The good news is, you're in the right place. There are solutions, and we'll help you find them. We are the men and women of MedEx Home Care, and for over 35 years, we've been helping families just like yours grow older together.
Power of touch. Touch is the first sense that we develop, and I think it's the most powerful. You've always heard stories that touch is so necessary for life, that babies not touched regularly don't grow and develop poorly. Children that aren't lovingly touched enough are more likely to be violent adults. You know, we're social animals. We're hardwired to give and receive touch and to benefit from it. And there were studies with puppies that were separated from their moms for 10 to 15 minutes a day. And when they were reunited with their moms, the mothers who licked and groomed them intently, those puppies were more comfortable exploring new environments. But the puppies that their moms ignored developed more anxiety disorders, produced higher levels of stress hormones, and had elevated blood pressures. So touch is such an important thing. I've noticed we're kind of a touch phobic society. We're not used to touching, you know, of course, touching in a proper way. We're not used to touching friends or strangers. You know, we all see, like, everybody's phobic about touching. We don't want people in our personal space. I was walking through a park the other day, and all I see are people alone, and all they're doing, they're on their phones, they're texting. It's kind of like we've raised a generation who communicate in a type of isolation. We are becoming less affectionate. It's Generation Y is the most medicated generation in history. I mean, it's kind of unbelievable. Now, of course, you've heard me say I'm Italian. I come from an Italian background. So we're always hugging people and kissing people. I mean, we just meet you for the first time. We're hugging you. We're kissing you. You know, I see people sometimes. I mean, when I used to have friends come over, you know, when I was in grammar school or even college, you know, my grandfather, that's the first thing he did. He hugged and kissed them. And, you know, if people weren't used to that, they were looking at us like, oh my gosh, you know, people kind of move away from you. But that's what we do. Maybe that's why, you know, they're always, you always think of Italians being happy. I don't know, because we're like that. You know, we want to hug everybody. We want to touch people. Even in different sections of Italy, it's funny, the north and the south, they think differently of each other. My husband and I always have this ongoing battle because his family's from northern Italy and I'm from southern Italy. And it was funny, when we were in Italy, we were walking, we were in Tuscany and we were walking down a street, and this baker came running out of a shop. He saw me and he looked at me and he started hugging and kissing me. And he said, "You're from the South. I can see it in your eyes and your face. I can tell." And I said, "Oh, yes. You know, my grandfather is from Messina." And he said, "Yes, I can tell." He said, "I'm here now. I'm in the North. But these people in the North, they're cold." He says, "They don't want to know you. They don't want to hug and kiss. We want to hug and kiss everyone." And it was funny. I never would have expected that, you know, the difference in the North and the South there, but there is. And they, you know, so research has shown that those who are touched on a regular basis, they experience higher levels of the hormone oxytocin, which that hormone lowers your stress hormone levels. So it plays a part in reduced blood pressure, and you're maintaining good moods. You have a higher pain tolerance. It reduces anxiety, and it helps you feel more connected. You feel better. You feel safe. You feel soothed. You feel trusting. One thing we don't do enough of is we don't touch the elderly. I don't know if people are afraid of older people, or they don't. Some older people don't look huggable. You know, they just don't. But, or they're maybe not used to it. You know, maybe in your family you didn't do that. You know, maybe it's not part of how you were raised or who you are. But I teach all the time that, you know, you, of course, as soon as, you know, you walk into a home with an older person, if I've talked to an older person numerous times and then I'm going to meet them, I give them a hug, I give them a kiss, give them my hands, and I do that because I've developed already a rapport with them. If it's the first time you're walking into a home, it depends on the person, you know, but I always tell people, shake their hand, hold their hand, you know, and give them your hand, because that's a form of touch, and there you start that relationship. And, you know, people may seem standoffish, but they really need to be touched. They need a hug from people. And once you get to know them, you know, you can just touch their shoulder, hold their hand. You know, we suggest back rubs. You can massage their hands and feet. You can just, you know, caress their arm. Any type of touch, their body feels better. So I always, you know, say to people, any form of touch, give your mom and dad a hug. It's good for their physical as well as their mental health. And, you know, if you spend time with mom and dad and reach out and touch them, take their hand, you're going to see a smile on their face. Even if it's not how you were raised or not something, you know, you normally would do. They'll feel connected to you. It will reduce their anxiety, especially if they're stressed. You know, it doesn't matter. Also, if you are the one being touched or you're the touchee, that works both ways. So don't be afraid. That's one thing I always teach with older people. You know, I know in hospice situations, we say, you know, give them comfort care. You can sit, hold their hand, wipe their brow. You know, you're doing things to make them comfortable. But you want to do that to any mom and dad, any of the elderly, any people in general. You know, people need to be touched. They need to be hugged. So we always teach that. Take their hand, sit with them. Sit with them. I say to people, you know, yes, of course, if you're going into a home as a nurse or as a caregiver, you have a job to do. You know, you have to you have to do an assessment. You have to do, give people medications, whatever it may need. You may be a home health aide and you have to take care of their, you know, personal needs as well as cooking them a meal. But there's always time to give them a hug or sit with them for 5 minutes and hold their hand and talk to them. That's all it takes. So I'm going to end on this note. Hugging helps the immune system, cures depression, reduces stress, and induces sleep. It's invigorating, rejuvenating, and has no unpleasant side effects. It is all natural, organic, naturally sweet, has no pesticides, no preservatives, no artificial ingredients, and 100% wholesome. There are no batteries to wear out, no periodic checkups, no low energy consumption or high energy yield. Hugging is inflation-proof, non-fattening, no monthly payments, theft-proof, non-taxable, non-polluting, and of course, fully returnable. Hugging is practically perfect, with the only exception being that it can't recreate the wheel. So give someone a hug today. And my survival tip of the week, eat a banana. Research shows that a banana can protect your body from the negative effects of stress How does it do that? Well, the potassium in a banana helps regulate your blood pressure, which rises during stressful times. So some people find when they eat a banana, it kind of helps calm them a little and it boosts their energy. So it looks like I've run out of time again. Sorry. If this week's show was helpful to you, or you know someone who would be helped by it, please tell them. They can subscribe to the show using iTunes. You can find links to the topics we just talked about in the show notes for today's episode at parentsareheartoraise.org. I'm here to help you, so please tell me if there's something you're struggling with, and I'll try my best to include it in future shows. You can reach me through my website, dianeberardi.com. That's Diane with one N, B-E-R-A-R-D-I. You can follow me on Facebook at Parents Are Hard to Raise, and I tweet at Jersey Elder Care. Parents Are Hard to Raise is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. Thank you so much for listening. See you again next week.